Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the night that you've given us, Lord, knowing that so many families are so busy preparing to either leave or to stay for Christmas, Lord, family coming in or family going out. Lord, we just pray that this is a peaceful time for all of our family. And Lord, for those that will not be here for our Sunday, December 24th, our services, Lord, we pray safe travel wherever they are going and safe travel all the way home. We give you praise, Lord, for little Easton tonight, that Lord, there's no leukemia in his little body, and that, Lord, you're continuing to touch him and heal them, and, Lord, bringing relief and peace to all of the family. Lord, we lift up Richard Kelsey, knowing that, indeed, it's hard for him to get around, and we pray that every need is provided for him, O Lord, and for Mary and all the people that we're praying for right now that are facing surgeries and all the rest. Lord, somehow, some way, as you always do, would you help me tonight? Let my heart, my mind, and my entire being just be at peace, the supernatural peace. And Lord, bring all things to my remembrance. Lord, we're here to celebrate you, to worship you, to find you in this place called Calvary Chapel tonight. I pray over the families that are present, Lord. I pray that they remember that God is faithful, that he is a God who cannot lie, that every promise that he has made is yes, and again I say yes and amen in Christ Jesus. May every burden be lifted. And Lord, I know that there are those this time of year that they've lost loved ones during the year, and Lord, there's nothing so more difficult than that. I pray you surround every family with your peace and your comfort. Embrace each heart. Lord Jesus, you truly are the reason for this season. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. We love you now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew's gospel tonight, chapter 2. We're only going to cover a few verses. I pray, are you ready for Christmas? Amen. Oh, you're lying. Okay. Well, you know, you're not really ready for Christmas unless you're really ready to worship the Lord of Lords. Amen? That's when you're really ready. You know, the wise men, what did they say? The wise men said, we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to ask him many questions. No. We've come to put many petitions before him. To Lord, help us. No. We've come to do one thing. Oh, actually, two things. We have come to give unto the king who has been born. And we have come also to kneel down, to fall before him, to worship him. There is nothing greater than to remember that on Christmas morning. Amen. When you tell your children, or if you're single, you sit there and you read the Christmas story yourself and you worship the Lord of Lords. There's nothing greater than that. And we've come tonight to just prepare our hearts. Not only we worship the Lord every day, but at this special time of year, to worship the one who was born of a virgin, the one who died for the sins of the world, the one who rose from the dead, ascended unto heaven, seated at the right hand of God, the one who is coming for us, and he may come tonight. Amen? You never know. That would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, look with me tonight. You're at Matthew chapter 2. Let's begin now a Christmas worship beginning in verse 1. It says, now after, say that word with me, after, very important word, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. So Micah the prophet, 700 years earlier, had the tremendous privilege and the incredible honor of naming the birthplace of our Savior. And that was in Micah 5:2. And they're in Bethlehem, the house of bread, if you will. So what's wonderful is the bread of life was born in the house of bread. Amen. Now, Jesus was born, it says, in the days of Herod. Herod was a puppet king. Herod was an Edomite. He was from the lineage of Esau. He had absolutely no right to the throne because he was not even anywhere near being in the lineage of King David. So he was just, like I said, a puppet king. He was also a short fellow. He's just a little over 4 feet tall. But he was one of the meanest and cruelest kings that ever, I guess, in Jerusalem's history. You know, he had been married, I think, if you study out history, probably 9, maybe 10 times. He had no problem executing his many wives or even killing his own sons. Matter of fact, Caesar Augustus himself, Julius Caesar, said this. He said, it's safer to be Herod's sow than his or his pig than his son. So he was a vicious man. Now, it says that wise men came from the east. That's the Magi. We get our word magic from that word Magi. Now listen, they were not Jews, they were Gentiles, all right? And they come maybe from Persia, from Arabia, and so forth, but they specialized in math and science, especially in astrology, the study of the stars and all of that. And so you know how they entered into Jerusalem. Do you remember? The three kings, you remember how they entered? They were singing, you know? Do you remember that? Isn't that in the scripture right there? We three kings of Orient. Is that right? Never mind. You know that's, is that true? Okay, now listen very carefully. You know, well, they were really singing, Star of Wonder. Oh, never mind. All right. I won't do that. Now listen, we want to be careful, you know, because we have a lot of tradition around the world, really, don't we? You know, if you look at Christmas cards, they can certainly, they're beautiful because, I mean, you're just like me, you've probably sent out a lot of Christmas cards and you pick special ones and so forth. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, these three kings here, and the reason we say three kings or people believe it's three kings is because in verse 11, it says there were three gifts that were presented, okay? So they just say, well, there's got to be three kings. Well, are we told there are three kings? No, we're not. We could have been 300 kings. We don't know if it's three kings or not. And does it give us the names? No. But then what are the three kings' names? There's Casper. There's... You guys, are you listening to me tonight? The lights are... I can't see you sometimes. I'd give anything if I could wear sunglasses. But I don't think that'd look very good up here, would it? No, listen. And then you have scenes on postcards like here's the three kings and so forth bearing their gifts, and they're visiting Jesus there in the manger. Is that true? No. I heard yes, no, yes, maybe. I don't know. Why did I come to church tonight? No, listen. If you look back with me, look at verse 1 again. It says, now after Jesus was born. After what? After the heavenly host appeared to the shepherds in the field and all the heavenly choir of heaven was singing, after the announcement of the good news that a Savior has been born to you this day, all of that, it says in verse 11, it says a baby or a young child? Young child. So what does that mean? It means that many months have now passed after the birth of Jesus. Look at verse 11 again. And when they had come into the house... Not the stable, no mention of a manger, but yet, you know, on the Christmas cards, they show what the wise men coming to the stable. Is that correct? And not only that, we're just as guilty. Go to the main lobby. I told them it was false doctrine. They wouldn't believe me. They set it up anyway. Okay, well, what can I do? You know, you're saying, you're trying to mess up my Christmas, Bill. No, if I was really going to mess up your Christmas, I would tell you that Jesus really wasn't born on December 25th, which he wasn't. Now, aren't you glad you came tonight? Now, the emphasis in our text tonight is not on who the Magi, who they were. The emphasis is upon, in our text, what they did. And they did two things that we should always be doing. They came to worship the Lord, and they came to present gifts unto him. Now look at verse 2. It says, and saying, where is he? In other words, that word saying means they went all over the city constantly questioning, if you will, whoever they were meeting. It says, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? In other words, where is he, the legitimate heir of the king of Israel who has just been born? Where is he at? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to what? Not to petition him, not to ask anything of him. We have come to do one thing. We want to worship the King, the Savior of the world. That's all they wanted. And they said that we've seen his star, which is the fulfillment of the 1,500-year-old prophecy that was that Balaam gave all the way back in Numbers 24:17. Let me read it to you. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. Here it comes. A star shall come out of Jacob. Jacob meaning the nation of Israel. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Can you imagine at that time when that prophecy was given? Do you think that anyone ever would have ever dreamed that Oriental kings or whoever, whatever they were going to come and follow a star all the way to Jerusalem and find the babe? I mean, that young child. Dear Lord, this is incredible. And so the wise men, they just said, listen, we've come for this purpose. We want to kneel before him. We want to bow before him. We want to present gifts unto him because we have seen his star. There's something about a man or a woman when their only desire and their only passion is to find the King. Amen. To find him and say, all I want to do is just worship him and him alone. And then in verse 3, it says, and when Herod the king heard of this, he was so excited. I just want to see if you're reading, you're following along. You probably have, you don't text while I'm doing this. Are you texting right now? No, I'm just teasing. I have the Christmas spirit, hallelujah. You know, listen, I'll let you get away from my notes for a minute. How many of you have, I'm not saying you have a Christmas tree up. If you have a pagan tree in your house, it's okay. I'm not going to. No, I mean, I would never condemn anybody for that. I'm not religious, but let me ask you a question. If you do have that, do you remember the old, when you put them on the tree, the light bulbs, right? But these are the type with the long stem, and there's like water in them, and they bubble. They're called bubble lights? Well, you know, that's the only thing I remember about the only Christmas that I had with my mother and my father before they divorced, actually they never divorced, she died. But before they, it was the only thing, I was fascinated. So I was at this place, Becky and I, the other day, and up around the ceiling, I said, honey, I said, look, there are those long, bubble lights. And I was just flooded with all these memories because I had not seen those since I was a little boy. You know, Christmas holds so many special memories, doesn't it? You know, or it should hold, but it can also hold horrible memories. I do understand that. But you know, here when Herod, on this, when the Lord was born, look what he said. He said, when Herod heard this, what the wise men had said, he was literally what? Troubled. I mean, that word literally means in turmoil. He was terrified, the exact opposite of the feelings of the wise men. Now, and all Jerusalem, look at this, they were troubled. They didn't know what was going on either. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and all the scribes of the people together, Herod inquired, or literally, he demanded of them where the Christ or the Messiah was to be born. And so they said to him, isn't it amazing? Immediately they said to him, immediately, they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, meaning Micah 5:2 again, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, and not of the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You know, the wise men had to have somehow read this verse. Do you understand? I don't know how. There's total mystery. There's no way to. We have no knowledge of. We don't know. But what's so bad or sad about all this, there's Herod. There's the chief priest. There is all the people. They have the priest and the chief priest have all this head knowledge. They don't have any heart knowledge. They are 5 miles away, Jerusalem to Bethlehem, 5 miles away. And yet, 5 miles away from the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And you know what? They had the scriptures, they knew the word of God, and they did not even go search it out. Why? Because they were not interested. They weren't interested at all. That is one of the saddest statements in the world, isn't it? I mean, here are God's people. They have the promises of God, the prophecies of God. They know the Word of God, but yet they're not interested. 5 miles, I mean, all you have to do is get on your camel and go 5 miles, or just on your donkey, or walk. You understand what I'm saying? But they did not do that. But yet, the wise men who were not Jews, who were pagans, they could not find any rest in their hearts until they found the King. It's a terrible thing to come to the city of God, Jerusalem, and find it fast asleep, isn't it? To have religion but have no relationship. And it's so sad that the scribes knew where to look, but they weren't interested enough to go investigate what the Word of God said. And then Herod himself, when he had secretly, he called the wise men, and he determined from them what time the star appeared. In other words, what time did that star appear to you? A year or 2 months? How long ago? The age of it, if you will. And then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, listen, go and search carefully. That word means precisely. Cover all the ground, if you will. And he says, carefully search for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and what? Him also. Boy, that is the biggest lie recorded for us, for every generation to read. All Herod heard was this. He heard, where is he who was born King of the Jews? That right there, he couldn't handle it. No one was going to usurp his authority. No one was going to take his place. The wise men, they left, and Herod the fool, he stayed behind. And let me say what? Tell you, he regretted it the rest of his life. Now, and when they had heard the King, they departed. And behold, the star, when they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Not the babe, but the young child. And when they saw the star, look at this. The Amplified Version reads, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy. Or as the King James Version, New King James, rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Isn't it amazing that the wise men were more hungry to find God, to worship God, than those who knew God? I don't know how to explain the miracle of the star. Neither does anyone else. You know, I mean, it came and it stood right over where Jesus was. Think about that for a minute. That's unbelievable to me, but I know it's true. You know, I read, there's a maybe you've read it too, or you might have it in your library. It's called The Gospel of the Stars. And when you read that, it talks about the star here that the wise men followed. Did you know they said, and I'm just telling you, I'm not saying it's true, but this is what they said, that the testimony of the people was that the star that was over Bethlehem, that it was shining for 125 years after the wise men left. I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that's what was recorded in the book that I read about that. And so here, you know, how did it happen? Man, only God knows. But you know, the wise men had only the message of the star. That's all they had. I mean, Herod, the scribes, the priest, they had the Word of God. The Magi traveled at least 1,000 miles from their homeland. And here they come to a dead city filled with dead faith. Look at verse 11 now. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And look what they did. They fell down. They worshiped him. They didn't worship Mary. They worshiped Jesus. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. Gold, representing his deity. Frankincense, representing his humanity, and then myrrh, which was for funerals or embalming and so forth. In other words, his sacrificial death. And then being divinely warned in a dream, the wise men, that they shouldn't return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. You know, when you look at this incredible story, And you think about Herod, for example. Herod is undoubtedly a picture of the bloodthirsty world that Christ was born into, because he came to his own, 1 John 1:11. He came to his own received him not. Jesus was hated, as we already know. But, you know, Herod is dead, but you know what? The spirit of Herod is very much alive in our world today, isn't it? Nobody, the world hates the Lord and so forth. But verse 16, look at verse 16 with me for a moment. It says there in verse 16, "And then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise man, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all, that's a very important word, all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men," meaning the time that they had seen the star. "And then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more.'" The first martyrs, if you will, at the birth of Christ were male children. It says all the male children, not only in Bethlehem, but all of the surrounding areas. We do not know how many, we're not told, but they were 2 years and younger, which probably tells us how long ago for the scribes or the wise men that they had seen the star. And so the wise men, they fell down and they worshiped and they gave. I don't know that besides Noah, you know, when Noah prepared an ark, like it says in Romans, Hebrews 11, I don't know if I've seen greater faith in God's word from Noah or to this right here, the faith of the wise men. I mean, they believed in Christ. They were outside of the covenant. They had never seen Jesus, and yet they were allowed, their eyes actually saw the God-man. Can you believe? I mean, that just blows me away. I don't find any greater faith in the Bible except maybe that of Noah. Here is the king, but there's no palace. The young child is probably just sitting there in the lap of Mary. I mean, we know that to our knowledge, it's not recorded. They never heard any teaching at all about the Messiah. And yet they obviously did read the prophecies and so forth, because they were scholars. They studied. And then they discovered that the star was going to appear. They understood all of those things. And yet here we are tonight in the 21st century, and we have 10,000 times more evidence about our Lord than they had. What incredible steps to follow to be like them, the examples that they give us for believing. They found him. You know, Jeremiah prophesied in 29:13, God says, "You will seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." I have found, and as you have, in all the years that you are a Christian, I found that God always does things in our life to create, to help us, to increase our faith. The Lord will move a mountain. He will, when they crossed the Jordan. Remember there, Joshua and everyone. What did the Lord do? The water went back 20 miles all the way to the city of Adam, stood up as a heap, and they crossed over on dry land. The priests going, of course, first with the Ark of the Covenant. God created a visual to increase their faith. Here, I mean, there's a star. There's a visible star. Can you imagine how excited they were? But the whole thing is that God will do all of that, but the purpose behind it is for us and for them and for every person to worship the one who died for the sins of the world. Amen? That's really what it's all about. See, the Bible tells us in John 4:24 that God is spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. In truth, meaning God demands to be worshiped his way, not our way, and the scriptures teach us that. Amen? Now, with all that being said, a quality of a person's worship really determines, if you will, our relationship with God. There, you know, to worship the Lord, just to fall down upon our faces, to bow before him, that's not a religious thing. That's a holy thing. Amen? That is a wonderful thing to do. To go before the Lord like the song Kevin was in. just finished singing, you know, about us bowing down before him. Oh, if there's any person that deserves to be worshiped, it is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's like Mary. You know, Mary, when she cried out, when responding to what Elizabeth said in Luke 1:46, Mary said this, "Oh, my soul," meaning everything that I have within me is going to worship the Lord. It says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That's like mega worship, you know, just exploding in her heart. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." What kind of gift can you bring to the one who was born to die for the sins of the world, to die for our sins, to take our place and do so of his own volition and never sinned, to pay the sin debt that we could never pay, and then to be in him and being justified because of his blood, because of our relationship with him. So God, when God sees us in him, it sees everything like it's all finished and it's all complete. Amen? I say, Lord, there's no one like you. What can we give to the Lord? You remember when Jesus cried out in Matthew 15:8, he says about his own people, he said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You want to give a gift to the Lord? Let me tell you what to give. Let your mouth, the things that come out of your mouth, match your heart. Amen? From the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. You know, it's easy to let tradition ruin Christmas. It's easy to talk about Jesus at Christmas, but yet at the same time, we do it with our lips. What if the Lord said, you know, you guys, you know, I mean, I'm not saying we're doing that, but I'm saying, what if he says, you know what, the church just talks about me. They do Christmas plays about me. They sing carols about me. They even put me on Christmas cards, but they just talk about me. They don't really worship me, the one who deserves to be worshiped, the only one who deserves to be worshiped. How do we really worship the Lord? I believe that the example that the wise men gave us is a perfect example. You know, you say, Bill, because they gave gifts? No, well, that's one thing, but yes, but it's because they did something else. They gave themselves. You know, you hear me say sometimes, when you come to the Lord in prayer, don't let the first thing come out of your mouth, "Lord, you know what I need." He already knows what you need. Amen? But just to be in the still of the morning or whenever you choose or elect to have a quiet time, and it's not about what you need, but it's about who you're speaking to. And you just say, "Lord, I worship you and I love you and I praise you. Hallowed be thy name." You know what I mean? Where you come to him first and you just say, "Lord, I surrender to you." See, that's what they did. They surrendered unto him. And not only that, these magi, whoever they were, they acknowledged when they gave him gifts and they knelt down before him and they worshiped him, a babe, or rather a young child. Listen to me. They acknowledged that he had the absolute authority and the absolute right to rule their life. Think about that. That's what they did. They worshiped. They gave of themselves. They fell down with joy that they were, ecstatic joy, overwhelming joy. They found him. They followed the star, and there he was. Man, listen, the greatest gift that we can give unto the Lord was just like I said Sunday. Remember Romans 12:1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves," plural, and it also says, "brethren," plural, "that you present your bodies," plural, meaning all, every Christian, "as a living sacrifice unto the Lord." Man, I tell you, you know, which is holy, it says, acceptable. That word means well-pleasing to God, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service literally means a reasonable act of your worship, a reasonable act of my worship. In other words, in harmony with God, the highest reason of all. Now listen, The only acceptable worship in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, literally is the offering of yourself to God as that living sacrifice. You know, our Lord has already made the only dead sacrifice, if you will, that is needed. It's all paid for. God says, I don't want you to die for me, although we could be a martyr. But what he's saying here is that I want you to live for me. Listen, that's what we should do. Lord, here I am. Your plans are my plans. Your will is my will. Listen, we're leaving this planet. This planet is not our home. Amen? We're going to be home one day forever and ever and ever and ever. We're not going to have any problems there. We're not going to lose our hair there. There's no wrinkles allowed in heaven. Do you understand? Everybody has their teeth, you know? Yes, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place, loved one. But how about if a gift that we could give the Lord? How about the gift to say obedience? Let's just take two words. Mark 1:17. Jesus said, follow me. That's a command. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I mean, can you imagine what a gift the Lord could do? You know, say, Lord, here we are. All of this church, we're just going to follow you. We're going to be fishing people out of the sea of sin and just say, happy birthday, Jesus. This is what we're doing. That's what we're going to give. Paul shouts out in 2 Corinthians 9:15, he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, or literally unspeakable. He says, I can't even explain. It's so deep. You know, our gift to us is Jesus, the one who died for us, the one who bore our sin, the one who took our place, our substitute, the one who took our sin and buried it into the eternal sea of forgetfulness, put our sin as far as the east is from the west. There was no room in the inn for Jesus, but Jesus said, there's room for anyone in me. Think about that. I say, Lord, you're so good. You know, the Christmas of the world, as we talked about Sunday, it'll let us down, won't it? It'll never give us peace. It'll never give us joy. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have that more abundantly. Last Sunday, we talked about the meaning, the true meaning of Christmas from 1 John 3:5, that we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. He died, he came, he was born, and he died to take away our sins. The Bible says in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Man, I tell you, I'm so thankful that I'm saved tonight. You know what I love about Christmas is that sometimes you get to see old friends. You know what I mean? That's like Micah came in tonight. You know, brother, it's so good to see you. He's in the military. Man, he is. Man, he's like the Hulk. You know what I'm saying? But it's, you know, it's so wonderful to see people just dropping in. I had a person drop in right before service Sunday morning. And I'd just gotten here, and she used to attend here over in the early days at the other church. A wonderful, incredible lady, beautiful singer. And she also, she's so well-versed in song that she she's like downtown in the where they do plays and all that, you know, or whatever they do, and she sings and so forth, and has been invited all over. I think she was at T.D. Jakes' church not too long ago and sang over there. Just an incredible woman. And she comes in, and I said, I call her by name, and I said, she said, I've got to talk to you. And I said, listen, the fire alarm is going off. Kevin, were you there? You saw the fire. It was going. The fire alarm is going off because of the smoke machine. Remember the smoke machine? That's when the kid goes, really? You know? Man, that was so classic, you know? And so that's going off. I'm behind, and I've got 50 things I have to do. She's a rather corpulent lady, and she just kind of grabs me and says, I need to talk to you. I said, well, can't you? You're gonna, obviously, I haven't seen you in 10 years or whatever. Surely you're going to come to service. I said, no, I've just stopped in. I'll talk to you, and then I'm going to my church. I said, okay, what is it? And she said, Bill, Pastor Bill, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. then she left. You'll never know. God knows everything. He knows everything about you. Every hurt. Christmas. Oh, go into my office and worship Him. Thank you. Because He's so good. You say, quit what? That's none of your business. That word wasn't for you, it's for me. If God wanted you to know why that word came, He would tell you. But I'm kind of tacky tonight. And I didn't even take Sudafed, you know? No, listen. God is just good. He knows when you're up. He knows when you're down. He knows everything is happening in your life. He will never let you down. Never. He will never let you down. I don't care what you're facing, what you're going through. Jesus will never let you down. When we are faithless, He remains faithful. God can't lie. Listen, God is love, man. Not created love. God is uncreated love. Do you understand? See, God is love. If you want to know what love is, you look at Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Listen, Herod, you know, he hears all the news, you know, with him. And you know what? All the babies are dead, and he thinks his throne is safe. He's wiped out all the little boys, 2 years old and under, okay, in all the districts. You know what? And then Herod, it says there in verse 19, Herod died. He's dead. Man, listen. Do you know what Josephus, the Jewish historian, what he wrote in Antiquities? Let me read this to you. It says Herod died. It says Herod died of this: ulcerated entrails, maggot-filled organs, constant convulsions, foul breath, neither physicians nor warm baths led to his recovery. Do you know what he did even 5 days before Herod the Great is who we're talking about, before he died? Do you know what he did? 5 days left to live. You know what he does? He has his son Antipater executed. He was a murderer the whole way through his regime. Herod, you know what he did? He missed the miracle of the star. He missed eternal life. All the chief priests, all the scribes, all the people in Jerusalem, 5 miles away, they all missed it because they were faithless and because they were indifferent. The Bible says, John the Baptist, remember what he cried out in John 3:19? He says, the light has come into the world. But the world didn't receive its light, didn't want anything to do with it. Such was Herod. Listen, what a great Savior we have. On Christmas, whether you celebrate it Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, it doesn't matter. But whenever you celebrate it, worship Him. Give Him what He deserves. Amen? Wise men still do that, by the way. You know, the psalmist has written, and I close, let me read this to you, Psalm 95:1. It says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. That's a corporate worship, okay? Now listen, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. In other words, a heart of gratitude. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Here it tells us why. For the Lord is the great God, and the great King above all gods. And in His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed dry land. That's why I said a moment ago, whether you're up or whether you're down, it says His hand is there. Well, there's nothing greater than to believe that, to have faith, saying, Lord, I know that you'll never, I say this so often, but it's so true. I say it to myself so often. He will never relax His hold upon you. Amen. Never. He'll never let you go. You belong to Him. Listen, you can't get out of His hands. Amen. He's God. Oh, he goes on and it says, here it is. Oh, come, that invitation, knowing that we are forgiven, knowing that we are washed, knowing that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the very day of redemption, knowing that he who began a good work in you will complete it to the very day of Christ. Amen. He says with this invitation, he says, come and let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Praise the Lord. You know, if you're traveling and will not be with us Sunday, I bid you a very safe journey wherever you're there. Have a wonderful time. Worship the Lord and come back safely. So from my home, as I always say, to your home, Rebecca and I, we bid you a Christ-centered and a peaceful Christmas in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that there's no one like you. Lord, I'm so thankful for this wonderful work, this place, these people called Calvary Chapel. Oh, Lord, what an honor and a privilege it has been now to serve all these many, many years, Lord, as we move now into 25 years, a quarter of a century in this fellowship. Lord, I'm thankful for all the servant leaders, every usher, every greeter, every deacon, every elder, oh, Lord, the bookstore people, everybody, everyone who serves Sunday school teachers, Lord, the worship ministry, all that we do, the media team, Lord, everything we do except for the sound engineer. Lord, I don't know about him. Lord, merry heart doeth good, Father. That's why I did that. We love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We worship you because you are worthy to be praised. May the meditation of our heart and the words that come from our lips be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. We are grateful tonight. We are a grateful people. Touch your servants now. Touch them. Bless them. Thank you, Jesus. Lamb of God, thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing.